Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who knows our hearts and understands us, we pray that even as we ponder on this message about forgiveness, we will not treat it as a familiar subject and take for granted what it reveals about your heart. And so we ask you that you will send your Holy Spirit to give to each one of us wisdom and revelation. Revelation of your heart and a revelation of our own heart, because you see clearly our own hearts, and our hearts tend to be full of self-deception. And we need your wisdom. Your wisdom in very practical ways. Because some of us are struggling with forgiveness. And we thank you that because you love us, you want to speak with us personally, deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While I was thinking about this message, I recall a newspaper article in the Straits Times in the 1990s. Some of you not born yet. And it was a true story, not fake. It was a report about a plantation worker in West Malaysia. And he was bitten by a snake. And he was so angry that he swallowed the snake. And then he got afraid. What is this snake doing inside me? Will it bite me inside? Will it poison me inside? And he rushed to hospital. When I read it, and when I think about it now, I was thinking that many of us are bitten by other people. They hurt us. And our reaction often is swallowed inside. And then it eats us from the inside. And so when Jesus tells his story in the parable of the master and two servants, he was telling us, a normal human beings, we will suffer, we will think, we will react like these two. But you miss the point of the story if you keep your eyes on the servants. Because you must look at what is this story telling us about God, the one who is the source of forgiveness and the one who gives us the grace, the free gift, the power to forgive, even as God has forgiven us. So you remember the story that there was read in the gospel? There was the king, and in the first servant, he owed $10,000. Somebody said that it computes to about 20 million. Some people say perhaps it's worth $6 billion. In other words, it was an enormous debt that he cannot pay. And so when the master summons him, he said, he fell on his knees and he pleaded, "Have patience and I will pay you everything." That's what he said. You notice what he said? And the master said, out of pity, out of the goodness of his heart, out of sympathy for this man, compassion for this man and his wife and his children, he said, "I release you of all the $10,000. You don't need to pay me. You are forgiven your debt. I owe you canceled." So the first point that Jesus wants us to notice is, hey, this master in the story is God, and God is merciful. That's the first thing we need to remember. God is merciful. And out of his mercy, he sent Jesus to die for us. He paid the price for the debt of our sins. Like that servant, we cannot repay God for the debts of our sins. It needed God himself to cancel the sin by the death of one sinless man, Jesus. The cost of forgiveness to God was the blood of Jesus. We plead for mercy. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sins. It is the heart of God that is merciful. And then when forgiveness comes to us, it is not just a cancellation of our sins. He does this to our hearts. He changed our hearts. The blood of Jesus cleanses us inside out. The Bible says he takes out this heart of stone, the heart that says, "I hate, I can't forgive, I will not forgive ever," and you build walls in your heart. What he does is that when God forgives you, the power of the Holy Spirit comes and starts pouring out his perfect love into your heart. And that river of love from the throne of God coming freely each time you kneel before him and say, "I need you." That wall, the walls in your heart, he washes away. The flooded away, and he gives you a new heart. A heart that says, "I know your love now, and the power of your love is in me to enable me to forgive as you have forgiven me." And that's the second lesson that we learn from the story. As we receive mercy, we are to be merciful. As we receive mercy, you are to be merciful. A change of heart has taken place. You have become a child of the Heavenly Father. You no longer have the self-centered old heart. You have the new heart to be like Jesus, to be like the Heavenly Father. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Not your self-will, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God in Christ forgives us, and we are commanded to forgive one another. You receive, you give. You receive, you give. And that's why Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You see the flow? We block the flow when we choose not to forgive. What happened in that story, in the parable? The second servant owed the first servant 100 denarii, which is about $1,000. Peanuts in comparison to 20 million or 6 billion. It's a small. And he comes. He saw the servant and he said, you pay me. He demanded to be paid. And the servant, the second servant, went on his knees and said, have patience with me and I will pay you. The same words that the first servant told the master. And what did the first servant, who has been set free of all his debts, what did he say to that guy? He said, no, you pay me. You can't pay me, you get into jail. Your whole family pays with you. And then what happened? The master heard about it. The master summoned the first servant and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you everything. So you are to forgive this person. And because you didn't, he said, I take you and put you in jail. And the parable ends with, so my heavenly Father will treat each one of you if you do not forgive from your heart. So what has happened? In other words, the choice is given by God to us. You can forgive because God has forgiven. You can forgive those who sin against you because the power to forgive is the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace to forgive is because Jesus died on the cross for all sins. My sins, your sins, the sins of those who sin against you included. And he says that if you choose not to forgive, then what happens? God will let you suffer the consequences of your sins. God will allow the circumstances, the complications to take place. And the rest of the Bible also tells us what happens when we choose not to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, resolve your anger. Don't sleep on your anger. Don't harbor this anger and keep thinking, I get back at that fella. Why should he say this about me? Why did he backstab me? And you rehearse the wrong done to you, and you get angry and angry, and you sleep on it. And the Bible says, you have opened the door of opportunity to the devil to come to play havoc with you. And once you let the devil into your mind, your emotions, your spirit, he will. Jesus says, what will he do? The father of lies will steal, kill, destroy. He would love to destroy your relationship with Jesus. He would love to steal your peace and see you fight with your wife, your children, your siblings, your colleagues. There's another consequence of bearing grudges, resentment. Everything looks fine outside, but inside, it's been a long time. The hurt is too long ago, too deep. You've learned to control it, but sometimes it breaks forth as volcanoes, and people escape from what you will throw at them. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, when you keep all that unforgiveness, you grieve the Holy Spirit. What does grieving the Holy Spirit mean? It means if I grieve the Holy Spirit, I lose the sense of the presence of God. The Bible stops speaking to me. People preaching, I can't hear it. It makes my mind wanders. I'm not attentive. Your praying seems like hitting a steel ceiling up there. You feel you're not getting to God. And you wonder, where's God? I need him, but I can't. Where is he? God has left me. Actually, God has not left you. By your unforgiveness, you have grieved him. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. And so, the choice. The Bible says we can choose to forgive or not to forgive. And there's another verse that I just thought about. From Hebrews 12, verse 15. It says, see that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, which means God is waiting for you to come and say, I need your grace. I need your help to deal with this problem. All this fighting at home must stop, but I don't know. I don't know how to get across to my father. I cannot know how to get across to my mother. I wish they would stop nagging me. Whatever it is, God says, don't miss my grace. Don't fail to obtain my grace. Because when you fail to obtain the grace of God to forgive, what happens? The root of bitterness grows. What's wrong with this root? Nobody sees it. I know. What happens is that this root, the Bible says, will cause trouble. It will be very troublesome. And what else? It will defile your relationship with others. I met people. They are so full of anger that when people reach out to them in friendliness, in love, they are suspicious. What do you want out of me? That's their attitude. You cannot get close to them. That's an example of what it means by it defiles your relationship. And so, God's appeal is forgive. Forgive as I have forgiven you. And the example given in the reading of Acts is the example of James, of Stephen. Stephen, described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. I want you to note that he didn't say Stephen was an angel. He said Stephen was a man, a human being like all of us. We have our weaknesses. We have our moods. But what enabled him to forgive those who were persecuting him and stoning him is what? He was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was not depending on his own human emotions and will to forgive. His faith was in what Jesus has done for him and what the Holy Spirit will enable him to live, to behave the way Jesus did. Because Jesus taught his disciples and taught us, not only do we forgive those who sin us, he wants us to forgive our enemies, pray for them, and bless them. That's even further than forgiveness. Because what is he asking of us? Something humanly impossible. Yes, because he wants you to live your life full of faith, not full of yourself, and full of the Holy Spirit, not full of your own anger. And you see what happens to Stephen? What was he able to do? When they were crowding at him, right? What did he say? He said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." What does that mean? You mean he wasn't looking at the crowd? Would you be looking at the crowd if they are rushing, grinding their teeth at you, ready to throw stones at you? You will be looking at the crowd. If you have been hurt, your focus is usually on, "I hate that person." Your focus will be on, "What did they wrong? What wrong they have done to me?" But look at the focus of Stephen. You look to heaven. You look to the Lord Jesus. You look to where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You look to God to know that God is in charge of your life. He's in control. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to protect you. And therefore, Stephen was able to say, as they were stoning him, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That is an expression of, "I commit my life to you. You are alive, Lord Jesus. I commit my life to you, my spirit to you. I know that death is not a victory for the persecutors, not a victory for them, but death is a victory for him and Jesus." And at the end, as he was dying, he fell on his knees and he cried out with a loud voice. What did he say? "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Was that it? Can you hear that? He's saying, "I'm releasing them from this sin." In other words, he's saying, "I am forgiving them of this sin." And I want you to hear this word, this sin. A lot of people are afraid that if they forgive someone, does it mean it is not a sin? I've received questions like that. Yeah, it's a sin. God says it's a sin. And you are releasing this sin to the Lord and agreeing with God, it is a sin, but you're not going to allow the sin to bind you to that person or get you chained up by the devil. You release the sin to Jesus because Jesus died on the cross for you and for the people who hurt you or harm you. And the next slide will show you that what Stephen did was he was following the example of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's exactly what Stephen did. And Jesus also said, the next slide, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Stephen did that too. When you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, you walk in the footsteps of Jesus. In the next few slides, I want you to see how you can apply and have victory over unforgiveness. Next slide. This is our calling. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." One of the cries of people when they have been deeply hurt is that no one can understand the suffering they have gone through. And it's true. I haven't been there, so it's hard for me to understand. But this verse tells us, Christ also suffered for you. The one who had no sin suffered. So he understands you and he sympathizes with you. He has walked that way of suffering. So he has left you an example that you can follow in his steps. Next verse tells us he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. This is to tell us he was sinless. Normally, even if I quarrel with Pete, right? 50-50. He got 50% of the cause, 50% of the blame, right? Because we are sinners. But Jesus knew no sin, no deceit. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for us. So if you think that it's unfair, God, why should I suffer like this? It's not fair, God. Then you look at this. God made Jesus suffer for us so that we can receive God's solution to human conflicts and suffering. Next verse. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted, he continued entrusting himself to him, God, who judges justly. Very difficult for us. Humanly, you hit me, watch out, I hit back. You threaten me, I'll threaten you. If I don't threaten you, inside you will be feeling, just you wait, your turn will come next. A human tendency is to react, retaliate. Give you a piece of my mind, then you know. Right? We want our rights. But what did Jesus do? That way, he showed us that way. That way is trust yourself, your well-being, your welfare, your reputation to God who judges justly. He sees the hearts of everyone. Your heart, the heart of the man, the woman who sinned against you. He sees, he knows all. And he can judge. So it's telling us, you forgive doesn't mean that that person automatically is let go. You forgive, it's you. You receive freedom. Freedom from the sin of the other, so that you are not bound to him, the wrongdoing. Next verse. He himself, here it is. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He died for my sin, for your sin, for everybody, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That's the power of the cross of Christ. You come to Christ at the cross. You don't need to live in unforgiveness. He sets you free to live for righteousness. Plus something. By his wounds, you have been healed. There is the healing. You hold on to unforgiveness, hatred. You cannot receive healing. You let go and you can receive the healing. Your heart receives the healing. Next verse, you're not alone. You were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Jesus wants to care for your wounds, heal you. Jesus wants to protect you. You are not alone to struggle with your problems. He says, I want to take care of you. So, the key is in your hands. Many of us have locked ourselves up with chains. But God has already given us the key. And the key is, forgive as I have forgiven you. May I now lead you in a time of prayer? If the Lord has spoken to you, and you know you need the power to forgive, open your heart to the Lord. Tell him, There are some of you who need to forgive parents. Even though they have passed away, you still need to forgive them. Was it neglect? Was it harshness? Was it favoritism? Don't let the past continue to haunt you. Forgive. Some of you need to forgive siblings because they bullied you. They've been unkind. They have abused you. Their sins have kept you wounded and trapped for a long time. And Jesus says, come to me. I help you to release, let go of their sins and not punish yourself. Some of you need to forgive your spouse. And not let the conflict escalate. May I invite you to quietly pray. Pray with me. I'm going to pray in the first person. Pray with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I need your help. You know my heart. You know the pain. You know the problem. I find it so hard to forgive. I come to you because you died for me. You died for my sins. And you died for the sins of those who have hurt me. Lord Jesus, I want to obey you. Help me by your Holy Spirit. And I decide and choose to forgive, to let go. Thank you. I choose to follow you. I choose to follow you. Not my feelings, not my pain. I choose to follow you because you say, I can die to the sin of hatred, anger, unforgiveness, and I can receive life, righteousness, and I can receive healing. I thank you. I thank you that you are at the right hand of the throne of God. You have heard my prayer, and now you are pouring your love into my heart. Pouring forgiveness into my heart. Pouring healing into my heart. I thank you. I receive in Jesus' name. Amen.